Blog Talk Radio.
Hello to all you nincompoops and something that cares out there. I am the Wiretap. I am here to represent Eisenacher Suicide Pods. Let's cut to the chase. The globalists have decided it is time to kill off all you 99% who breathe our air and use all of our food resources. You have not died fast enough by eating GMO foods or by killing each other from race riots we have started. We have tried to remove all the pieces of excrement by cooking up COVID in a Wuhan laboratory, but you are not dying fast enough. So we now have Eisenacher suicide pods. You can now rush out and die in our suicide pods. Schedule your appointment today. You can choose between a blue, brown, grey or pink casket. Remember, you need to wear at least 5 masks minimum, and you will take a COVID test before and after you get in the pod. You must also make sure your ashes remain a safe 6 feet social distance when you are about to exit. If you like your experience, put it on Melbourne Compete, we will give you 15% off your next session. We hope to see all you useless eaters get in these pods right away before we put everyone in FEMA camps. That they do not exist. Schedule your appointment today for your Eisenacher suicide pod. Thank you.
Y'all, this is Ninja Scroll. Check out my newest album, Renewed Mind, with songs like this. Salve Coagula.
Salve Coagula. Tear down and rebuild the whole system. Vibrant prophecy fulfilled.
Snakes in the grass.
Son of position. We got snakes in the grass. Rally through the high pass. Traps all laid out. Avoid the bomb blast.
I gotcha.
I got you right where I want you. Like a raw line in the field, I stalked you. Creeped up on you, peeped on your aura. Laying in wait, ready to pounce on you. Once I get you, you'll be your goal.
Can you hear me now?
Hey, drunk, all part of the game.
Ain't this thing with solo, now it's time to open up your eyes. Look at how you're living, just to follow the world with Satan.
And the new norms, the new world order. Yeah, go get yours right now at officialninjascroll.webs.com. That's official, ninjascroll.webs.com.
Trying to show you everything, but you ain't care. Got you running scared, it's fear that is the main weapon. Peace to the people.
Okay, one more time. This is your foot. This is shoes. This... this is your foot in shoes.
I can't move.
Any questions?
A little help.
This public service announcement brought to you by Zero Shoes. Feel the freedom, feel the fun, feel the world in Zero Shoes.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wiretap. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the One World Government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
We'll be right back.
Here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the Big Kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Wednesday, so we'll have Amanda joining us here in just a second, and we do have a guest today. We have Kilgore Rand joining us again for the first time in well over 6 months. And we can have you out there in Radio Land. If you want to be a part of the show, the number here is 319-527-5278. 6208 and just press lucky number 1 on your phone, and I will make it a point to bring you into the conversation. All right, so let's go ahead and bring Amanda in here. So, Amanda, welcome in.
Well, Proof, I have to say it's good to hear your voice. And might add, there's a little bit of lightness in your voice. A little...
Lightness?
A little...
What do you mean?
What's going on? I can hear in your voice just a little bit of lightness, like maybe a little tad of feeling a lot better.
Oh, yeah, it's been what? We missed 2 weeks in a row, didn't we?
Yeah, yes. There were a couple of weeks before that when you weren't feeling well and some other things came up. And then,
yeah,
of course, the last 2 weeks that we've not been able to meet. So, good to be back. And good. Nice. How are you feeling anyway?
I'm doing a lot better. I'm not healed, of course, but I'm at the point where last week in the hospital, the doctor and everybody said that there's no way in the world that I'm going to recover from what happened to me. And then today, he sees a ton of improvement. And he feels confident that there will be minimal permanent damage, if any.
Wow. Way to show them how it's done. And I had full faith in how you would go in there, get well, and not wear a scam on your face even one time.
Not one time. So
that is
I've
awesome.
Been taking my my vitamins, and I just realized I've done so much today that I forgot to take all of my vitamins. So I was trying to hurry up and wolf them down on the when the song was on. And if I forgot any, I'm going to have round two. But
okay.
They labeled me as a diabetic. Just a heads up.
Uh huh. And do you believe that label is true?
I know what I've been eating lately, and it's nothing bad, because it's not like I've switched my diet completely. I've never had a craving for Oreos, and I'm not a late snacker, but I have found that lately I've been enjoying dates a little bit too much. And I could eat 3 or 4 servings, which one serving can have like 60-something sugars. And I could if I made a smoothie with dates and, say, cranberry juice, I could be looking at like 300 sugars easy, 300 grams.
Sure, you bet. Dates
so I could have done it to myself.
Yeah. Well, that's easily remedied. So a diabetic tendency, but not a diagnosis as though you're... So basically what I'm asking is your pancreas is still fully operational.
Yeah.
Awesome.
As far as I know, there's no kidney damage. My liver is a little messed up. I've been taking kidney and liver cleanses. I found some reputable vitamin-type stuff, and I've been attacking that. And I've gone back to – actually, I found a nitric oxide drink, a powder that I mix with water, and I've been doing that. And
nice.
I feel
very
confident
nice.
That the nitric oxide might be keeping me in the game.
I can – believe that. It's quite beneficial. And so the nitric oxide, does it contain the L-arginine, or does it say anything about L-arginine on it? I'm
yes,
curious
it does.
Where the,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, nice. L-arginine and L-citrulline. That's what I was looking
yeah.
for, both something with both of them.
Excellent, excellent. No, I approve of that. I think that's great. And you sound really healthy. Over the phone, you sound great.
So I'm constantly hungry, but I'm like really limiting my sugars.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And so when you get hungry, there's something that appeals to you, like avocado or something high in fiber?
Lately, I've been killing seaweed, which when Kilgore joins us, I'm probably going to kill a seaweed before it gets too late.
Good idea. I like it.
Yeah, I eat and avocados. They're not one of my favorites, but I eat them.
Okay, yeah, understood. They're just one of those that, you know, got all the things. Of course, they're low in sugars. They have probably like three, but definitely fiber and fat, very nutritious, and you can do all kinds of things with them. And so, yeah, that sounds like you're on a good path. I'm happy to hear it. And you got your hyperbaric chamber
treatment. Yeah, my A1C was quite a bit high, but I feel that if I make the right changes, I'll be okay.
Awesome. And do you mind me asking, when you say it's high, was it 10 or was it closer to like 7?
Like 13 and a half.
Oh, okay. So it was up there.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're doing liver things and nitric oxide. You're on top of it. Definitely would. I'm certain you'll see that come back down.
And I said no to the metformins and the other types like that.
Good.
So
good.
For me, I just feel like I'm still taking antibiotics, not by choice, but I get them shot in my arm once a day. My numbers might be a little spiked because of that, but I decided that the metformin types are not part of my game.
Good, because you would definitely be having, you would definitely need to do all the liver things if you were on metformin. That stuff is, it's pretty
toxic. Well, the
toxic,
thing with the
so
metformin stuff, generally, is that it will help you temporarily, but the price is you're giving up your kidneys to get your blood sugars under control.
And
then you're
going to
need kidney medications, which kidney medications could damage your heart. Now you're taking heart medications, and at some point you're not going to be able to keep up with it all.
Yeah, that's where I was going. Once you're on one pharmaceutical, it usually leads to another, and then another, and then another.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're all about that. So I'm glad to hear that you're on top of it. I knew you would be, but, yeah.
It's just, it's not coming to fruition yet, but I'm going to stay the course, and I just feel like eventually doing the right things and taking the right vitamins, it's not like in 2 days you're going to feel better. So it's just a matter of staying the course and not giving up.
Yes, I hear you on that one. And you got your hyperbaric chamber treatment. You had to go to a different facility,
yes,
I understand.
Let me tell you about that.
Yeah.
So as of Monday, a couple days ago, that place changed their policy, and that's the wound care center that my doctor, his other office, operates from. So if it was just a hyperbaric chamber, I would say no thank you, but in order to get the treatment that I need, all of his tools are in that office. So he's equally pissed and made a complaint because I was supposed to have an appointment there Saturday so he could hook me up. And the secretary said, oh, you're not wearing a scam. You're not allowed in here under no circumstances. And when he asked if I showed up, she said, I never heard of him. He probably no call, no showed. Couldn't even bother to tell the doctor that she sent me away.
Wow.
And he's just as pissed as I am.
Wow. Yeah, as he should be. Holy cow, that's not okay.
So they reversed their policy and they said I could come in. Like I said, if it was just hyperbaric chamber, I'd say no thanks. But when it's a matter of needing help and all the tools are there, and it's a matter of saving a body part, I'm going to lift my boycott.
Got it. But at least you don't have to wear a scam on your face because they understand the policy is dumb. So that probably has a lot to do with your resistance that the policy has been dropped. That's awesome.
I don't know if it was – I doubt it was me, but anyway, it's over, so I'm happy. Kilgore is going to join us in about 5-10 minutes.
Awesome. Sounds good. And was that new music I heard at the intro?
No, that is music. Well, that is way old.
Oh, new to me then.
I was trying to find something you haven't heard.
Yeah, I did not recognize that.
I don't know if that was
on
my first album or my second. That's called Everything is Wonderful. I think I made that around 2008.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So it's been around a while.
Yeah. A long time.
Uh-huh. Well, it was new to me, so I was going to say, wow, you really are feeling better. You have a new lease on life, and you even made new music.
Hope the song was at least okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I was enjoying it. Yep, I think I'm sure I've only heard a portion of your songs, but that's...
Probably.
Yeah. But, yeah, anytime you want to mix it up and bring some of your older stuff out, I'm down.
Okay. So I'm hopeful that I could come down still for Easter weekend. That's my goal.
Great.
So we'll see. I want to come visit.
And remind me, do you know Easter off the top of your head? Which weekend?
I think
is that
it's the second
9th? Okay. Here, it's the 9th. Okay. I have an event that I'm teaching, and that is the 14th to 15th. So the 9th is great.
Well,
or that
let me
weekend
look. Hold
is great.
On. Sorry, I have a cat on my shoulder. I couldn't move very fast.
That's okay. They're important.
That's February. Hold on here. I didn't move over to March. Oh, no. I'll figure it out. I wrote down the 8th and 9th for February and not March. So on my calendar. Daylight Savings Time is this weekend. I didn't even recognize that.
Yay. My favorite time of the year when I spend at least 2 weeks not knowing what time it is.
All right. Yeah, Easter Sunday is the 9th.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. I should be around, and we'll make sure that I am around on, would you say, like, on the 8th, we want to try and get something together?
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay. I'm going to put it on my calendar here, and I'll reach out to Laura and others and see what we can arrange. I'm sure I can get some of my coworkers.
I think I'm off on my day job on, if I remember right, I have Good Friday off on the 7th with pay.
Oh, nice.
Anytime the stock market is closed, my day job gives us a holiday.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, excellent. You get things like President's Day and, all the government holidays. Nice.
So, yeah, if we can get something going on that Saturday, that would be nice. Is that Art in the Park thing that we went to last year, is it Easter weekend again?
Oh, I forgot all about that. Oh, let me go
that's where we met.
See what that is. I forgot all about that thing. Let's see. St. George, I'm going to have to find the page.
I don't think I'm in a condition to host a booth just yet.
Right. And I should tell you that my plans of putting together a farmer's market have fallen flat. The city has their own plans. I am in line behind other people who want to start one. So I tried, but they're not super interested in what I have to offer right now. So it is what it is, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find it. I'll keep searching here. Let's see. Got to be on one of these Facebook pages. Usually put everything on Facebook. It'll show up eventually. But yeah, I attempted. I got a hold of a few people and it fell flat. But that's okay.
Well, you know what plans did not fall through, though?
What's that?
Our guest.
Oh, yeah.
Kilgore Rand from idonotcomply.org. He's here with us.
Excellent.
I'll go bring him in.
All right.
Welcome in, Kilgore.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on.
Well,
always
thank you for thanking
me. You're welcome. So how have y'all been?
Well, I feel a lot better. I missed 2 weeks on air almost, and that's not like me.
Yeah, I know you've been grappling with some serious medical stuff, so hopefully you're on the mend. And wishing you well and a speedy recovery, man.
I think I'm getting better. My doctor said he saw a whole bunch of improvement that he didn't think would happen, so that sounds like a good sign.
Well, that's great news. Yeah, well, hopefully it continues.
Yeah, it's just surreal what happened, and I still don't understand it, but I'll get it figured out. So I wanted to, because you're from California originally, Kilgore, I wanted to bring up this news to you and get your thoughts here.
Sure.
So, I think Governor Grusom wants to get rid of Walgreens in the state of California because they won't sell an abortion pill.
I did see that the other day. I mean, that seems pretty on brand for Newsom. And, you know, they're all about trying to depopulate at all costs and, you know, lower the quality of life. And the lowest quality of life is just, you know, killing people before they're born. So that seems right up his alley.
And it's not like Walgreens does anything wrong. It's not like they're behind in taxes or they do things that are unsavory. They're just a legitimate drugstore, I guess. I was trying to think of a better word for it.
And so I haven't really been following the story. I just saw the main headline. But is it that Walgreens, is it the Plan B pill, and Walgreens is taking some stance that they don't want to sell that? Is that correct?
Something like that, yeah.
I mean, does Walgreens have a history of being, like, pro-life or conservative or evangelical? Do you know?
I had no idea. They must have. I've never heard of Walgreens saying anything about this kind of stuff before.
Yeah, me neither. So it's stuff like that. I'm just like, is this really happening, or is this just more stuff to divide us, you know? The newest headline to pit us against each other and keep people in this constant state of fear. I realized today that with social media, they've been able to just keep people in a constant state of fear and anxiety, fear and stress. And when people are in that state, they're just easily controlled. So the bulk of humanity is just so easily manipulated because their emotions are just constantly running high with all the clickbait nonsense that they're inundated with every day. So you just have like a world of trauma victims, and you know, psychopaths at the top that can just kind of manipulate them into whatever they want, and that's what we've seen play out in the last few years with COVID.
Well, you could take the gene therapy still, where there's still people getting it. There's still people walking around with scams on their face.
Yeah, I saw a guy driving today. I saw a school bus driver driving with a mask on. I couldn't imagine. It was in a pretty conservative, pretty red county here in Georgia, and I couldn't imagine that the county was still requiring it, but you just never know. But there's a lot of people that still buy into it. I'll tell you a story. I recently went to go get a second job, and I was turned down a job because I was uninjected. And this was within the last month.
Can I ask you what type of work it is?
It was a restaurant job. It was a bartending job. Yes. There are people that have not abandoned the narrative, or, you know, they haven't gotten the memo that this thing's killing people, sterilizing people, paralyzing people. That, if nothing else, it doesn't do the thing that it was supposed to do, which is stop the transmission of the boogeyman virus. My guess is that it's the actual thing that gives the people the virus and weakens their immune system to all viruses and to all illnesses. But yeah, that's still happening here in Georgia in 2023. There's still businesses, in privately owned businesses, not like giant Fortune 500 companies that are getting like WEF. Yeah, I mean, these are small businesses that are just under a spell, and they're still operating as everybody's got to get the injection so we can be safe.
Yeah,
I mean, when I told them
words,
I wasn't,
like,
they looked at me like
I need you to prove your allegiance to us, and I need you to risk death in order to come get this $11 an hour.
Exactly. I mean,
I'm not saying what they were paying you or not. I'm just giving an example. Like if you went to Starbucks, for example, they required it. And it's like, I need you to risk your life so that we can pay you $11 an hour.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it, you know, I used to work in the film industry, and SAG all across the board has embraced the, you know, COVID mandates and the vaccine mandates. So you can't be an extra in a movie without, you know, or on a TV show without being injected and showing proof of it. Well, I mean, you know, sure, there's a lot of people that are using fake passes and fake cards, but I just think that's such BS. Like, if you need to fake papers, you need to fake papers to, like, travel back home from a foreign country, I say go for it. I mean, that's sad that we live in that world. Like, we're living like we're in East Berlin or under Nazi occupation. But if you have to do that, do it. But if you're just going to do it to, like, go work on some crappy job, you know, I say stand by your principles. There's other opportunities out there.
Amen. Amen to that, and hallelujah.
Who do I have the pleasure of speaking with tonight, Prue? Who is your co-host? Who's your lovely co-host?
It's Amanda. We're friends on Facebook.
Amanda. We are, Amanda. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I was just applauding you for saying that, you know, if you're just going to fake it to get a stupid job, then you're part of the problem. And I would love to share a story with you about what my son just recently did. He is in med school right now. And he's 29. He'll be 30 in May. And he is in med school getting ready to find his internships and things. And he applied for an internship here in the town where we live in Utah. And they he told them straight up that he is going to request an exemption. And the director said, we accept two types of exemption. We accept religious and medical. And, of course, he's not going to even bother trying to get a medical one. So he went online and did an online ministry course. So he received his minister's license online and wrote his own religious exemption. Used the verbiage of against my deeply held religious belief, and they accepted it. And he started his internship today.
That's brilliant. That's awesome.
Yeah. He decided I definitely have all of the different templates that you can use and fill in your name and pretend. And he said, I don't want to contribute to people thinking that I'm confined. I don't want that to, I don't want to encourage that.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think more people have to do that. And yes, it's an inconvenience, right? And you run the risk of that they deny your exemption. Because I think by law that they have to at least offer the religious and medical exemption. They have to allow, but then they're allowed to take them into consideration, see if they can make reasonable accommodation for the person. And if not, then they don't have to accept it. And of course, they open themselves up to, you know, lawsuits and legal liability there. But it just sucks that people have to go through those steps. You know, I know parents have to go through those steps to get their kids into school. Now that schools require so many vaccination records just to send your child to public school.
Yep.
Yeah, I would say the one instance, like I was talking to some friends from Canada the other day, and they were telling me how they fled when everything locked down in 2020, and they wanted to go back home, couple years into the scamdemic, and, you know, they faked papers because that was the only way they could get back. That's the only way they could go home. Like, that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane that we're living in that world. And that there's people applauding those regimes requiring that as being progressive. Because there's nothing progressive about segregation. There's nothing progressive about medical fascism and telling people they have to get this product that was developed in part by the...
Oh, but it's so liberal, though.
that word doesn't mean what... I think the liberals don't know that word is not what it means. They keep saying that word, you know. It's like that line in The Princess Bride. You keep saying that word, but I don't think you know what it means.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's really sad, you know, to see that so much authoritarianism is coming from these people that claim to be on the side of inclusivity and progress. I just saw that my friend Brad from Five Times August.
They called Governor DeSantis a communist because he let people make a choice as to whether they wanted to wear a scam or not.
Who called him a communist?
Everybody on the left. You know how much they hate DeSantis.
I know it. Yeah, but I did not hear that because I thought that would just be like a compliment, right? Because they consider communism, you know, is like an ideal
you
should strive for.
Yeah.
That's funny. I did not get that. I did not hear about
that.
Yeah,
like, for example, let me share this with you. I had a bunch of people leave the Barefoot is Legal group in 2020 and 2021. They said I was acting like a communist because I would not demand that everybody in their pictures, when they take pictures and send to us, that if they're not wearing a scam, we need to ban them. And I said, no, we're never going to do that.
We probably lost
700-800 members easy because I wouldn't force that policy.
And this was in the bare feet is legal? Barefoot is legal?
Yeah.
Legal?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
It's amazing, like, how easily, I mean, it seemed easy, right? Like, think back to January, February of 2019. I know it seems like a whole nother world ago, right? I know for me, it really was. Like, it was just a whole nother life. I was on a whole nother trajectory. I was living in another part of the continent. But just think about, like, how people lived and things we took for granted. Like just walking around and not seeing people with their faces covered, like we were in an open air asylum or like surrounded by a bunch of surgeons or something. It just happened so fast. Like within probably 6 months, they had already conditioned those people that are still wearing those scams, as you call them, that they're going to wear them. And those people, a lot of them are going to wear them for the rest of their lives. That's all it took. It was like
a few months. What's your exit strategy? And they said, why do I need an exit strategy?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I encountered a lady last month who she would not use a pen that was shared by other people. She was still wearing a mask. She was wearing latex gloves. And I said, how long are you going to do this? Like, how it's been, you know, and you're still afraid of COVID. And she's like, oh, we're going to do this forever. We just got to live with it now, and that's the thing. That's when they started putting out those articles.
That's against it.
No, that's what they meant. I mean, I think the New York Times put out a story about we now have to learn to live with COVID, or maybe it was the Atlantic. It was some horrible garbage propaganda rag, but you know that's what they meant, and that's what they were telling these people. Like you're just going to have to learn to wear the mask forever, or maybe at best it'll be seasonal. You know, maybe you can just put it on and like, you know, during allergy season and flu season. But most likely you're just going to wear it forever. And they will. They'll wear it forever. It's sad, man. And it's sad that we can't reach across the aisle to these people because there's just the chances of that, like, communication – it's getting less and less likely to happen. We all just get so we're all so caught up in our
own. And it doesn't matter if we want to reach across the aisle or not. They're not willing to reach across the aisle.
100%. Yeah, and everything
is
pushing us.
Yeah, they're like, why should I talk to you? You voted for Trump.
Exactly. That's all they need to write you off is that you voted for Trump, or they think you voted for Trump. Or, I mean, I've had people accuse me of being, far right. It's like, you know, I'm practically vegan and I'm a songwriter and I spent my 20s protesting Bush in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. If I'm far right, like shit, you know, sorry, pardon my French. I mean, I the whole political spectrum is just completely skewed because I can't believe this is where we're at, but that's just how they slander people. Anybody that doesn't go along with the narrative, if you're not willing to transition your 12-year-old, if they think that they're a boy when they're a girl or vice versa, you're not willing to just take them to the doctor and have reassignment surgery, you're far right at this point. You know, if you want to celebrate women, happy National Women's Day, by the way, Amanda.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. If you want to actually recognize women as like natural, biologically born women, then and not count men with penises that just call themselves women, then you're far right. If you don't want the state to own your children, you're far right now. It's just their moniker for anything that doesn't go along with the blue team agenda.
No, that's how it is.
So how do we? Yeah, and how do we stop it? How do we break through to these people? Is there any breaking through? Is there any way? Now we're 3 years into this nonsense. Is there any way to break the spell? Is there any way to reach across the aisle and connect with these people? Or, and if we can't, then what does the future hold for us as a civilization? Those are my questions for y'all. What do you got?
I wish I had an answer.
Amanda's got answers, I can tell.
Oh, I don't know if I have answers for that specific question because it's so complicated at this point where they've already, like you pointed out, anything you do that is outside of what they've deemed as their stance is considered far right. I've attended many of the pro-medical freedom rallies during 2020 and 2021, and we were always assumed to be nothing but a bunch of Trump supporters, and they would yell at us, you know, screw Trump, and we hate Trump, and I'm like, you do realize that this freedom, the medical freedom, the ability to choose should not just be lumped into one mindset. It shouldn't be that I'm suddenly now I'm far right and I support Trump, someone I didn't even vote for. And at this point,
and a guy that was pushing the vaccine.
Yeah. Exactly. He was all about that, the fast tracking, and he's still to this day claiming it was such a great thing that he was involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow I'm far right. Yeah, I don't know how to. I can tell you this, though. I had this great conversation with my 32-year-old son yesterday. He is not what you would consider far right, and he's definitely not far left. So, you know, somewhere in the middle. And he even said, you know, there are some things that I wish that they, because he's technically a millennial generation person, that I just want the freedom do what I feel is right and be able to make those decisions. People shaming me for it. So, you know, he owns lots of guns and he thinks it's pretty ridiculous that the far left, anytime you say you want to have the freedom to protect yourself, however that might look, then suddenly you're part of the problem. You're the toxicity to just obey the government somehow. That's okay. So it's very interesting to see people in specific generations have their own their own ideas of what's going on. So I don't know if you can say it's the generation coming up or if it really just is that inability to see that following a government as though they are the moral compass of what we should be doing is ridiculous, or that you should put the government in charge of making decisions for anything. They are not the moral compass. We shouldn't just turn it over to a government body, because what happens when you start giving power is they just multiply and there's more problems and they have more reasons to have more control and more taxes. So anyway, that's not a good answer for your question, but I do feel like there are people out there that are reasonable in certain, you know, categories. It does get that perhaps there are more people who think reasonably than maybe we know of.
Yeah,
but
I
will say, though, that there's a lot more of us than there are of them. It's just that we've allowed them to be so vocal that they, because they're louder, it sounds like there's more of them, but there really isn't.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just think that, unfortunately, the small minority of ideologues have they're in a lot of positions of power and influence.
Yeah.
And I think when you look at Silicon Valley and big tech as an example of that, it's like most of our lives, like everything now is connected to the internet. the way food gets to grocery stores and, you know, the way traffic, everything is connected to the internet beyond just like social media and press and all that. It's become this integral thing that as a society we've become far too dependent upon, which I think in the at some point we'll have some – we're already seeing repercussions, but we're going to see more of them. But anyway, so we're all dependent upon this new thing as the public forum, right, that allows us to speak, to connect with other people. And the people that control it, the people that develop the software for it, the people that control, write the code on the back end and make it all work, and the people that have the control to just cut you off of it and de-person you, de-platform you, they're mostly almost 100% across the board those leftist ideologues. I mean, whatever you want to even call it. I mean, they're like authoritarian leftists, whatever this Team Blue woke cult is. And that's what's really scary, because these are the people that run YouTube. These are the people that run Google. They're the people that run Airbnb. Just any little thing you think about. The one that's on my mind right now is Bandcamp. I just saw that my friend Brad, the songwriter from Five Times August, he just got banned his entire catalog got erased from Bandcamp. And Bandcamp has been, wow, for like the last 10 years, it's been this platform that's been, you know, it's marketed itself as being artist-friendly. It gives the biggest share of revenue to the artist. It allows people to sell through, you know, give them a platform to sell through, and then takes a very minimal percentage of the sales. And it lets artists be in control of their content. But now Tim Pool, Tim Cass, and Brad in the last day have been kicked off Bandcamp.
Oh.
Wow.
And you know, it's like, where, you know, you're banning videos on YouTube. You're banning people on Facebook. You're banning people on Twitter. You're even banning people that aren't even doing, not even saying anything. I mean, music is music. It says a message through music, but so that's what's really scary, is like, how do we combat the divisiveness and the groups getting further away, or those of us that don't play along with the narrative or go along with it? How do we ever reach the people in the middle, or even the people on the far other side, when we're being cut out from the public discourse? And we've been seeing that over and over again, and it just keeps to be intensifying. And what do we do? And I don't think the free market's going to save us. You know, I think we're at a point now where power and wealth is concentrated too much, that it's not so easy as we could be like, well, we'll start our own YouTube. We'll start our own Google. And I think when you see people try to do that, you see what happened to Parler. They tried to do that. They tried to have an alternative to Twitter that was pre-Elon Musk Twitter. And it was going good for a little while, and then Amazon owned their servers, and Amazon just kicked them off their servers. It's like, it's not enough to just build your own social media platform. Then you got to have your own servers, your own – then you might, you know, maybe Spectrum or AT&T or whoever, Comcast, who hosts you, your internet, maybe they don't like your political message, so they kick you off from your internet. Which is, it's coming. I think that's the next thing. So
well,
what do we do?
Rumble,
we have to build our own.
Is somewhat,
yeah,
relevant, but Rumble is maybe 1/50th of what YouTube is.
Exactly.
So I don't know. I know that Brandon is really trying to get this digital currency going before he ends his presidency. And if that digital currency comes in, it's going to be very hard to win a battle when we're dealing with that. When you have the mark of the beast, it's basically it's going to take God's intervention in order to win.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I only think three things. One of three things is going to turn the tide and bring back sanity and fight back these forces of darkness that have been upon us. One is mass civil disobedience, which, you know, we've been trying, right? That's what mass noncompliance. We've been trying to make that happen for years. And I don't know. And I feel like a lot of people feel demoralized. You know, I feel like we accomplished some things. I think they would have gotten we'd still be under a lot of harsh measures if we hadn't fought back as much as we did, those of us that did.
But I would say that if we're lucky, 3% of the population refused to comply.
You think that's it? Only 3%?
That are hardcore, yeah.
Do you think is that 3% of America or 3% of the world?
I would say 3% of America. I think some other countries might be different.
Yeah, I think it's been a while since I checked in on it, but I'm pretty sure most of Africa did not take the COVID injection. They were
correct.
Like one of the
I
last
would agree.
Time. Yeah, I think
now,
they were
I
like
will
no
say,
thing.
I will say that there would be a decent amount of people that did not get a gene therapy, but when it came to wearing the scams, I would say that was at least 95% compliance at some point.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's... You
I
know,
wish
that's
I was wrong.
No, I think that's fair, and trust me, I definitely felt like the minority in a lot of places, not, you know, with a bare face. You know, it's like I live in a liberal college town, unfortunately, but it's close enough to like red county. So I would like, even though it'd be closer to go to the grocery store where I live, I would drive to like the next county over to go grocery shopping because there'd be more barefaced people, you know. And then every time I tried to shop here, like somebody would like, you know, say something, and I'd almost get in a fight with people.
Hey, I took it a lot more extreme than that. If you know where I went grocery shopping, my wife and I would drive almost 2 hours to go see Amanda's City.
Wow, you had to like you have to pack
playing.
A cooler or something to you know keep your goods from perishing on the trip.
We have.
Yeah.
For the most part, we did Imperfect Foods and Misfits Market, and had a lot of that stuff delivered. And then if we saw something on sale, we would get it. So we'd only pack a small like container, but it wasn't. If we didn't find anything perishable, it wasn't the end of the world. We would just order it online.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's there's so many personal stories. Like, there's going to be books full of the stories of people, what people endured, what people gave up, how their lives were upended, the friendships, the relationships that came to an end because of the divisiveness of COVID. But before we get there, I want to go through my other two things that I think, the only things that will turn things around. The one was mass noncompliance. That's my preferable. That's the one I really want. I want that to happen. That's why I started I Do Not Comply. The second is armed revolution. That's what it's going to be. It has to – that's the only way. If you're not going to have mass noncompliance that just shuts everything down and people say, no, I'm not going to go along with that. No, I'm not going to show up and work this job. No, I'm not going to get – a digital ID. No, I'm not going to get the next, you know, the 58th booster and show you proof of it. I'm done doing it. I'm done working in a company that's going to cancel people because they believe that there's two sexes. And that's proven with thousands of years of biology. Unless that happens, the only way it's going to turn it around is armed revolution.
And I think that is more likely because I think there's more people that would take up arms than do the mass noncompliance. I think that so many people looked at it like it's only a scam, I'll go get my Slurpee and put a scam on for a minute. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, they did. But, you know, the thing is, it's a much more. You start taking up arms, and it's like, I don't think you shouldn't use a pull a gun on somebody unless you intend on using it. So that's a much more serious step than saying no, than going the way of nonviolent resistance, like the way of Mahatma Gandhi and the way of Martin Luther King Jr.
But most people, though, Kilgore, don't see the forest for the trees, though. And the only way that an armed revolution will happen is if they threaten to take the arms away. Then you'll see people stand up. They're willing to give up body autonomy. They're not willing to give up their Second Amendments.
I just wonder, I think the way they do that is so subversive, and it's so little by little, you know. Like, if you look at California, it's really hard to get a gun. If you look at New York City, it's like darn near impossible to have a firearm. So they've achieved it in certain places. And I feel like they're just kind of, they're trying to push that further and further, that bubble of making it difficult further and further out from those blue regions. But I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I feel like most people won't do that because, I mean, things have to get really bad before they take up arms, because just most people are just too apathetic. I mean, even most people will just look the other way, you know? Like, it's just like, I don't know. Like when I find out that people are still requiring the injection for a job, that infuriates me and shocks me. But when if you told that to just like Normie Joe, they'd be like, yeah, that's how it is. You know, you watching the Super Bowl? Yeah, I just don't feel like most people care. So
I do believe though that if there was a threat that there was going to be a team of people that went door to door taking guns, I think the average person that owns a gun is not a radical leftist. And if they know what they have to do, I feel confident, not just optimistic, I feel confident that would cause an armed revolution right there, because once you turn them in, that's it.
Well, and they've been successful in other countries doing that. You know, they did it in Australia. They got the people to willingly give up their guns.
That's
Isn't
a lot
wild?
Less population, though, I think.
I know, but it's like, yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the population of Australia is. That's a good question. I'm going to find out.
Okay.
but that brings me to my third thing that's going to turn this around, and that's Jesus coming back.
Yes.
And I say that as a guy that spent most of my life as an atheist, and I would say I'm an agnostic at best now. But those are the only three things I can see happening. It's only mass noncompliance. We need a critical mass to turn this stuff around, which means people have to be engaged enough to say no, care enough, and be willing to risk their jobs, risk their livelihoods, risk not being popular, risk losing friends, the armed revolution, be willing to risk their lives. Or three, Jesus comes back with an army of angels from the sky and takes out all these evil douchebags like Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab and Brandon and the like. And I want to believe. I want to believe in any of those options can work. I'd prefer one or three, but I don't know.
Year, Kilgore, the second that American Truck Revolution went to Washington, D.C., then all of a sudden, mm-hmm. these scams don't work anymore. because they were afraid that the U.S. trucks would be worse than what was going on in Canada.
Yeah, the Canadian thing, I have to say, was, like, the coolest moment of last year. Like, that gave me hope. Like, that was just, we were all just kind of in a dark period. It was, like, the middle of winter. And the fact that they did that, you know, and they stood up to that little baby Trudeau, like, what a piece of work that guy is. Have either of you heard of Ben Bankus, the Canadian stand-up comedian?
I want to say I've had him on my show before. I know who he is.
This guy is incredible.
Ben Bernquist or something like that?
No, his name is Ben Bankus. I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
Oh, I know.
Name,
I'm thinking of somebody else. All right.
He's a stand-up comedian. I just discovered him because he's doing, like, you know, Ben Bankus, B-A-N-K-A-S. The guy is hilarious. He does this whole skit where he puts out these videos where he's running for the mayor of Toronto. And he just, like, trolls the woke cult. So, you know, it's like, I'm running for mayor of Toronto, and if when I become mayor, I'm going to make transportation and the subway and buses safer for trans people. And I'm gonna do that by defunding the police and making all crime illegal. You know, he just does ridiculous stuff, and, you know, he's going to rename all the streets named for white people after, like, indigenous people. All this, as I'm saying it, I'm like, this is actually what, like, a progressive person does. But he does it in, you know, like, a mocking way. And then his tagline at the end is, vote for me, all the other candidates are racist. But he's brilliant. You should check him out. You know, he posted today a picture of himself dressed as that woodshop teacher, you know, with the giant fake breasts and the blonde wig.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, to all my queens out there, happy International Women's Day. But yeah, you know, I have to say that Canadian trucker movement was just so inspiring, and that's a great example of mass noncompliance. You know, you gridlock a city. I mean, it happened during Vietnam. You know, there were tens of thousands of people that went to Washington, the Pentagon, surrounded the Pentagon, shut down Washington, D.C., gridlocked it. I mean, they arrested something like 4,000 people in a day, and they still couldn't get the city up and running because these people had enough. They were done with the Vietnam War. They wanted it over. But we didn't have social media then, you know. We didn't have, like, the stupid phone controlling everybody and telling them what they, you know, people were connecting in real life. They were meeting people. They were making love. They were smoking drugs. They were listening to music. They were connecting as human beings in the real world instead of through screens. And that's our biggest challenge, is now everyone's so disconnected and we're communicating through a digital media instead of in the real world.
So why did it take Canada truckers for us to put ourselves in gear, though? That's the sad part.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, what's really sad to me is that I've seen a lot of people, I think a lot of people just want an easy out. And I think there's a lot of grifters out there that are selling the easy out. There's a lot of people that claim to be in, you know, awake, that just are out to make money, and they're out to take advantage of people. And, you know, I've seen a lot of people in my kind of circles that I've connected with over the past couple of years really fall prey to it. You know, there's people that are like, you know, come to my seminar for $200, and learn about common law and learn about how you can revoke your citizenship and be a free person and not have to pay taxes, and you'll never have to wear a scam, and you'll never have to, like, tell them your vax status at the hospital and all these things, because, you know, some higher court will recognize it. And that's what saddens me, is a lot of people just – this QAnon nonsense is still going, believe it or not. And and then there's all these other new grifts. And for me, the sovereign citizen and common law thing, and y'all can disagree with me if you get into any of that, but to me that's like the biggest grift that is hamstringing the movement, because it's convincing people that they don't need to, like, go to rallies. They don't need to, you know, do, like, protests outside of businesses or hospitals. They just need to, you know, go to some guy's seminar who claims that JFK Jr. is the vice president and that Trump, like, killed Hillary, and give them and give him their money. And that's what's really, like, that's what bums me out more than anything, is see, like, people in the truth and freedom movement buy into that garbage.
It's a huge distraction. You definitely get sucked into it. I've known several friends who regret getting involved in any of that. I know what you're talking about, becoming sovereign. And I have a friend who highly regrets going through that effort. And it is definitely a huge distraction and keeps people thinking of a different direction rather than, like you said, being involved and rallying and coming together and mass non-compliance. Absolutely. I agree with you on that. I think that's a fabulous way to go.
What I'd like to see is
how do you get people to do it, though? That's the whole, if we knew how to do that, we wouldn't be in this situation.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, we touched on one thing earlier, and it made me think about the, you know, Amanda was saying about how she went to these rallies, the medical freedom rallies over the past couple of years, and then, you know, people were telling her, oh, that those are only for, like, you know, far-right Trump supporters. And that made me think of this rally that we did in 2021 in front of the CDC, and we had, like, hundreds of people there. It was like, the most successful event I've ever organized, or at least up there. I did one during the war in Iraq in Los Angeles at the federal building in Westwood by UCLA. And I had, like, Ron Kovic, who, you know, wrote the Born on the 4th of July, and Tom Cruise played him in a movie. He was a big anti-war activist during Vietnam. I helped organize that one. We called it Occupy the Occupiers. But I would say my second most successful one was organizing this rally, Reject the New Normal, at the CDC in March of 2021. And we had Riza Islam from the Nation of Islam. We had Kevin Jenkins. We had, we had, like, local speakers. It was just like this diverse group of people where we had Christians and Jewish people and Muslims and white and black, and everyone was represented in the, you know, panel. I think Peggy Hall was part of that rally. We had Peggy Hall come in on, like, via webcast. We had, like, a big TV, and I had, like, a power, portable power generator so we could power the TV and Wi-Fi for it and stuff. But anyway, it was like, you know, we had hundreds of people, and, like, more than half of it was African American. And I'll tell you, I've lived in Atlanta a good chunk of my life. Everything's so segregated. There's, like, black parts of town and white parts of town. There's black events and white events. This was an event where it was, like, half and half, and it was so beautiful. And of course, the media was there, and they never showed any actual coverage of it, but they would show a couple choice pictures where they clipped every person of color out of it. And the New York Times ran a headline saying white evangelicals are the leading cause of vaccine hesitancy. And it was a picture of me with a bullhorn and, like, two other white people at the rally, when there were, like, 300 black people there to see RZA and Kevin Jenkins speak. So it's just – there are ways to do it, but, yeah, that's what bums me out, is like there's these traps now that have been set for people. There's con men out there, and I'll just put them on blast. David Lester Strait is a con man, and that guy is responsible for conning a lot of people. And some people that used to be good friends of mine that I've worked with over the past couple of years, they have bought that guy hook, line, and sinker. And when I've tried to convince them out of it, like, they basically cut me out. You know, so that's what's really sad. It's really been really demoralizing, because they're like, it's like, you know, it's sad because you try to lead people and you just, I don't have all the answers. Like, I'm an honest person. I don't know what's going to happen. I have thoughts, but I can't promise you how this is going to play out. But there's these people like David Lester Strait. He'll make promises to you and tell you this is how it's going to be. Just give him your money. Just go to his seminar. You know, we've never asked for, I never asked for one penny from anybody that didn't go to a lawsuit or to just keep the, you know, the website or the organization up. But that can't be said for some of these other people. Some of these people are straight grifters, and they're doing a serious detriment to the movement. And that's what's worse, is because you had people that are awake, and they were going to rallies, and they were going to things where they were getting active in their community. And then you have somebody that's like, oh, no, you don't have to do that. You just have to take my seminar, and then I'll tell you how you can send a silver dollar with some documentation, and you can denounce your citizenship, and you can be free of all these laws. And I'll tell you, y'all, my friends, I got friends that are criminal attorneys. I got friends that are constitutional attorneys. I have friends that are district attorneys and prosecutors. Nobody in the court system buys that stuff. So people out there trying that stuff, you can try it. You're going to end up in prison. You're going to end up in jail. You're going to end up audited by the IRS if you want to try not to pay taxes. If you can get away with not paying taxes, I'm pretty sure Willie Nelson would have got away with it, or Red Fox, or, Blade, Wesley Snipes. Like, you don't have Wesley Snipes money. And if he couldn't get away with it, and Willie Nelson couldn't get away with it, you ain't going to get away with it. But yeah, so I don't, you know, one thing we need is for people that, like, these people that are bamboozling people and swindling people, they need to stop, and people need to call them out, because they're setting these traps for people that are awake, that could be putting their energies into other things, and they're giving them an easy out. You know, it's a lot easier just to give money to something than, like, go put your body on the line for something, to go stand out in front of the CDC where Department of Homeland Security's there, you know, or the Washington Post is there with their photographers, and they, you know, they put you on the front page and dox you to your family. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how we're going to get those people to get involved, but that's exactly what you're talking about, and that's what it's going to take for us to win. People have to get off the couch.
People do have to get off the couch. People have to realize, like, you know, we're in a time now, like, we're at war. It is war. Like, we're like a cold civil war. And, it's like... If you just go on autopilot, things are just going to keep getting worse and worse. I personally, I don't really know the next steps. One thing I'd like to do is I'd like to go around to all these businesses that discriminated against people over the last 3 years, and I want to go and I want to ask them if they would like to make an apology.
I can get behind that.
You know what I mean? Like, go...
Yeah.
Go with your, you know, with your iPhone in your pocket, filming, and just go to Trader Joe's, go to Sprouts, go to all those places and just say, hey, I was wondering if I could speak to the manager. And then you go to speak to them, and then you say, oh, hey, have you been working here for a while? And if they have, it makes it easier. You just go, Well, you know, I was here like a year and a half ago. You know, Trader Joe's is a great example. You say, I wasn't allowed in without a mask unless I pushed a cart that had a red flag of, like, shame on it to show everybody that I was, like a dirty, like, plague rat. And, like, would you like to apologize for that discriminatory behavior? Because, like, obviously, like, I know, like, you were in a heightened state of fear and people were concerned, but, like, now knowing everything that has come to light, would you just like to apologize for the people that you mistreated during that time? And get them on film. See what they say. And share it. That's my challenge to everybody out there. Go to all the places that kicked you out, that said you can't come in here without a vax card. Or my friends were telling me here in Athens, they went to a movie theater in downtown Athens, and they wouldn't let them go in to see Dune if they didn't have a vax card. This is in Georgia.
Wow.
They were requiring people to show proof of vaccination to see a movie.
Wow.
But I think
is it one of those
companies
going out of business,
yeah,
whether it's AMC or the other one?
You know, that was the sad thing, is this one was like a small privately owned thing. That's the thing here in Athens. It's like all small privately owned companies, but they want to be like, they want to be Google, you know? Like they painted trans flags on the walkways downtown. It's crazy. Like the city council literally voted to use tax money. Y'all, check this out. I mean, they spent something like at least $10 million. I know for a fact it's $10 million. It could be more. It's somewhere between 10 and – but they spent millions of dollars to move this old Confederate monument, which nobody even knew it was a Confederate monument because it just looked like it looked like the Washington Monument. What do we call that? Is that what's that thing called? A monolith?
Yeah, monolith.
I think I've heard that word.
Yeah, so it just looked like one of those, and it was like in the middle of like a median. So they spent millions of dollars moving that thing to I guess somebody like paid to put it in like a museum or somewhere, like housing on other grounds. They did that, and then they painted trans flags. They took the Confederate monument down, and they went the furthest way you could go, and they painted trans walkways, trans flags on the walkways, on a four square in the downtown center of Athens, Georgia. I mean, it's literally insane. I'm constantly tempted to throw blood on it, which I know wouldn't make me any friends. But like, think about it. Isn't there a lot of blood being spilt in the name of this trans movement?
Yeah.
I mean, there really are. They're destroying children's lives. They're doing things to kids, and they're brainwashing parents into thinking this is like they're being progressive and understanding and accepting, and they're doing irreparable harm to these kids. In some cases, you know, making it so these women will never, you know, be able to have children, and these boys will never be able to have children, and these things, if they ever, you know, children shouldn't be allowed. Children aren't allowed to drink. Children aren't allowed to smoke. They're like, those things are against the law. Children shouldn't be allowed to have sex changes. Like, it's not rocket science, guys. And it's not bigotry to say that. But that's where we are.
Amen.
That's where we all find ourselves, you know? And we got to be loud. We got to keep speaking out about that in every opportunity that we get. And we see any of that stuff, like, we have to keep pushing back. But, you know, here I am. I'm living in a city that is normalized. They were glorifying it in the name of progress.
And a lot of money, like you said, that's a lot of money to move a monument and paint trans flags. I mean, seriously, that is so much money, and nobody is concerned about that. No one wonders, wow, was that a wise use of our taxpayer dollars. No one seems to care that the amount of money that we put into this, whether we like it or not, that's where it goes. So if it's to any kind of cause that the government has decided is worthwhile and we have no say in how our tax dollars are spent and where they go.
That's right.
Well, you have a say as long as you agree with the right thought process.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's amazing how they just get so many people to go on board with it. And, you know, I'm so disillusioned with electoral politics. Like, I sat down with the mayor of Athens, I guess in the, like, when I first moved here, like, I was here for, like, 6 months, and I was talking to him about moving that monument. And I said to him, this is kind of the cool thing. I don't know if he still does it. It's cool, even though he's a complete ideologue, and maybe it's something that the Athens mayor has always done. But you can arrange a one-on-one meeting with the mayor. And they'll, like, this was during, like, the height of the fake pandemic. So, you know, we met at a park. And we sat 6 feet apart, and we had a conversation for like an hour. But one of the things I said to him when we were talking about all the money that was being used to move that monument, I said, you know, is this? And he's like, yeah, this is to make people feel more safe and more inclusive. And I said, well, like, couldn't you just take that money and invest it in the Black community instead? Which is why don't they? Right? Why spend the money to move a monument and paint trans flags when you could take that money and actually build, you know, maybe a rec center or something for inner city youth, or maybe go into the parts of town by the projects and actually create something like some kind of vocational training thing, like learn a trade, learn how to be a logger, learn how to be a metalsmith, learn how to weld, you know, like something. You know, they don't do that because they don't want people to be self-reliant. They just want these stupid, hollow gestures. But at the same time, those gestures are very symbolic and very heavy. You know, now everyone, though I'm kind of torn because it's like thousands of people walk across a trans flag, right? Like, you wouldn't want that to be an American flag. You wouldn't want people trampling upon it, right? But so you have like a bunch of these trans flags downtown that thousands of college kids are walking across, probably puking on, and they've got porta potties. They got porta potties lying against them, you know, on game days because everyone's drunk from going to see the college football game. So I mean, there's kind of an irony built into it, but still, that was my tax money. You know, that's where my property tax money goes, is to paint trans flags on the walkways.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we're in Georgia, and you know, at least it's like, I don't know, you just have these good old boys that think that, oh, you know, I'm progressive, you know, I'm the cool guy, or they're just bought out. They're either stupid or they're getting paid, you know, or they're complicit. But I don't think we're going to change things through a voting, through an electoral system, unfortunately, because I've yet to see it happen. I mean, DeSantis is the best thing that we have.
We can slow down the bleeding, but we're not going to stop the bleeding. That's the only thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of fun to think about. Like, what do you think the next presidential election is going to look like? I mean, it's stupid, and I don't really care, and I'm probably not going to vote, to be honest. But what do you think it looks like?
Well, it was
in terms
a pretty
of, like, who are the candidates?
Trump versus Michael Obama, who I'm sure is a nice lady.
I think the Obamas are done, right? They did their time for the lizard people. I think they're out, you know? They're just like chilling on Epstein Island or whatever at this point.
Hmm.
You know what I think is going to happen? Biden. I think.
Go ahead.
I think they're going to. I think Joe Biden's going to win again.
No.
I do. I think they're just straight trolling us at this point. Like, I think half the time we see Joe, Sleepy Joe, it's probably like a deep fake of him, like whenever he's actually good and on. You know, or like a clone or something.
And
the real man, is just far gone. But I think that's part of the troll, because they want you to know that you have no power. Like, they want to rub it in your face that the senile, old, I don't know what even else to call him, you know, this dementia patient is in charge of you. And that's how much, like, it's so, like, humiliating. Like a humiliation ritual, having him as president to us for all the rest of us, of our nation. And with the way it was so highly contested, you know, and you have January 6th now all in the news. And for the record, January 6th was just a meandering. The cops let people into the building. It's ridiculous that any of these people – there's people still in prison awaiting trial. There's people that they're threatening 40 years in prison. 40 years for walking into a building.
Escorted by police, even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's criminal. And where's Trump in that? You know what I mean? If Trump was really on the side of the people, he should have been donating those people. He should have been out every day saying, like, Joe Biggs needs to be released from prison. This guy needs to be released from prison. These people just walked into a Capitol building. Give them a trespassing fine. You know? I mean, the Black Panthers, and look, say what you want. I think the Black Panthers did some cool stuff. And the Black Panthers stormed in the Capitol building fully armed with their black berets and their cool leather jackets with AK-47. They didn't do 40 years. You got guys that just walked in there waving a flag with a MAGA hat on, and they're still sitting in there. They're still sitting in prison awaiting trial, and some of them are in solitary confinement. And it's not America anymore, y'all. So that's what I'm telling you. They're trolling us, and I wouldn't be surprised that 2024 is just Biden again. It's pushing us. It's trying to push to let you know you have no power. And the only good side of that is maybe it'll push people too far.
I was just going to say that. It's going to push people too far. Thank you for saying that. And perhaps that would be the good thing, that we would see the mass non-compliance then. Hopefully, if something like that were to happen, maybe people would be, they would actually be taken awake to say, obviously, this is fake.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that would be it. Maybe that's where the Civil War begins. Like, I don't know, y'all, like they have their target date of 2030, right, with, like, the United Nations goals and the WEF, like, you'll own nothing, you'll have no privacy by 2030. So, I mean, 2024, that's we're getting really close. We're going to be, like, basically at the midpoint. So, I don't know. Maybe that's the thing. But I don't know. Tell me I'm wrong, and tell me, do you have other predictions? What do you think, how will it play out? Will it be, like, DeSantis and Robert Kennedy Jr. or something?
No, I honestly think it'll be Trump versus Michael Robinson Obama or Governor Gruesome.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God! Is the world? Would they do? You think they would? Would they run Newsom? I don't know if Newsom's likable enough, man. But
everybody out there in California would like him because they don't know how bad he is. They just know he's a liberal.
Yeah. I mean, I look at California. Amanda, you're in California, right?
No.
No, I'm in Utah.
Okay, cool. Sorry.
No worries.
Started to accuse you of being in California.
we have
example.
A lot of
Californians. Like, look at California, man. They still, like, they just, they can't get any – California and New York, they're both the same way. Like, they can't get anybody – like, is it true that they can't vote anybody that's not, like, a complete crazy authoritarian in office? Or is it that it's completely rigged?
Mm-hmm.
Be a little
like,
old.
They couldn't recall Newsom? Like, they convinced people – the media convinced people – that the black guy, Larry Elder, running against Newsom in the recall was
right.
a white supremacist. They literally ran
yes,
an article.
The president of the KKK.
They ran an article, the new black face of white supremacy. I mean, that's
yeah, like
I've
said
right
a bunch
there.
Of times, like the KKK now has a diversity program.
It's amazing the mental acrobatics that like they make people go through to believe the horse crap that they put out, and yet people do it. So yeah, I don't know, but yeah, part of me just thinks like we'll revisit this after the election, and you could be like, you said Biden was going to win, and I will gladly be like wrong. But personally, I just don't think it matters. I think like we have to just. It's up to the people to make a change. Like, we have to stop this nonsense. We have to encourage people to be brave. It's really hard because we're dealing with people like, I mean, and Amanda, you're talking about your son. It sounds like you instilled values in him that he embodies and principles that he's not willing to compromise to make a buck. But I don't know if that's mm-hmm. the case with so many other people of his generation and the generation following. Because, you know, for us, I can rest assured probably all three of us, we grew up without, you know, smartphones and social media, right?
Right.
Oh, I still don't own a cell phone, but yeah.
Really? You don't own a smartphone?
I don't have a cell phone, no.
So when you call me from your landline?
I have a Vonage phone.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
A VoIP phone where it plugs into my router.
Whoa, that sounds way fancier than a smartphone. That's like some pirate stuff. I like it.
It's
that's
the
like
new
some
version
Mad Max
of the landline.
Okay, that's the new version of the landline. Thank you.
Yeah.
I think a big thing that we're like, and we've touched on it a bunch in this conversation, but one thing that we're up against is you're dealing with generations now that have grown up living their whole life on social media. I mean, we're dealing with generations who they could look at pictures of themselves when they were newborns and when they were starting to walk from their parents' Instagram and Facebook. And now their whole life, since they've been like a preteen, has been documented on social media, and their whole life in that arena has been trying to seek validation and acceptance and likes from their social network. And that's a really scary thing because you're talking about whole generations that have grown up giving such an importance to social validation over anything else. And that's where we find ourselves. And the psychopaths that are at the top of the 1%, they realize that. The algorithms realize that. So they can manipulate that. And that's what they did with COVID, you know. Wear a mask and you're a good person. Get the jab, you're a good person. You know, put a Ukrainian flag in your profile, you're a good person. Put your pronouns in your profile, you're a good person. Have a trans kid, you're a good person. That's what we're up against. It's like, it's so weird. You know, we were just busy living our lives. And they were laying the groundwork for this. It makes you really think, like, not to get too conspiratorial, but, like, was the internet – its whole inception in social media, was social media's entire purpose to do this, to create people that seek validation from the herd, from the collective above all.
I'm sure that social media, that's definitely its goal, for sure. But that's a thought. All of the internet, I had never thought of it that way.
Yeah, I mean, we know for a fact, like, you know, it was like this, I think it was the FBI or CIA or some division, secret division of the government that had, they had access to the internet before anyone else, right? And then I've heard, like, rumors. I haven't done enough research into it, but I've heard rumors of, like, some kind of, like, partnerships with the government and Facebook when it was beginning. We know for a fact now with the Twitter files that the government, like, they were literally sending people to Twitter and to Facebook to say, like, you have to censor these people. And you have to, you know, you have to censor anybody that is going against these narratives, which is – and there's a lawsuit right now that might turn out to be a giant seminal lawsuit, because you have people that were part of the Biden administration. There might even have been people in the Trump administration too that were going and colluding and meeting with these social media and big tech companies saying you need to censor people. When they speak out against the vaccines, or speak out against lockdowns, or speak out against, you know, any of the COVID stuff, which the lawsuit basically says, if you have government people that are acting on behalf of the White House, that are being paid with taxpayers' money, they're working as a representative of the United States government, and they're working actively to suppress people's freedom of speech, right? Because they're working colluding, giving incentives to these big tech companies and saying you need to do this, or threatening them, that's a direct violation of the Constitution. That is literally the government trying to stop you from speaking and using big tech companies as the way to stop you. And we'll see how that plays out. Oh, speaking of which, I don't know how much longer I can hang with you, probably another 15 minutes or so, but I will let you know that the I Do Not Comply lawsuit, we filed a lawsuit against Governor Brian Kemp because he locked down the state like all the other governors. He was one of the first to open. I don't know if anybody opened before him. Maybe – I feel like there's some that never really locked down, like Kristi Noem, South Dakota, maybe never locked down. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Kemp opened quickly, but he opened also, there was going to be a giant, like, the way that Michigan did that gridlock rally that was similar to what the truckers in Canada ended up doing. But there was a big one planned for the Capitol in Atlanta, and the day it was planned, Kemp, like, reopened the state. So you could say, like, oh, he was like, he just did it because of that, and it's quite possible. I will tell you that I think the guy's a complete douche, and he actually went and spoke at the World Economic Forum in the past, you know, back in January, whenever that was, like a couple months ago. How the heck is the governor, this Republican governor, this good old boy, dude, with a southern drawl, he's going to get flown to Davos, Switzerland, and he's going to speak at the World Economic Forum? Who paid for that?
Mm-hmm.
My guess is I did a little bit, along with all the other Georgia residents. But
yep.
So anyway, we sued the governor because – you know, he forced churches to close. He forced businesses to shut down. He shared people's medical records with the federal government. He did all these things that were violating the Constitution, both the state Constitution and the United States Constitution, just like every other governor around this country did. And our case got dismissed. We got dismissed in the lower court. By a course, it's all populated with woke judges. We got dismissed on the count of mootness. because, well, the lockdowns aren't happening anymore, so it's a moot issue. You don't have to we don't have to talk about it. Mm. We don't have to rule on it. So they wouldn't even hear it. They would just dismiss it, right? If they had to hear the case, they would say, well, we disagree with you, this is why. That when they could just say dismiss because it's not happening anymore. So, you know, that's not saying he didn't violate the Constitution. It's just saying he's not doing it currently, so it's a moot. Which is an insane thing, right? Because it's like, if you charge somebody with homicide, you'd be like, well, this person killed three people. And then you couldn't be like, well, it's kind of a moot issue. He's not killing anybody right now.
Yeah.
You couldn't use that argument. But they can use that argument, apparently, when it comes to constitutional matters. So then we appealed it. The process has gone on for like 2 years plus. Then we appealed it. That got dismissed. And then it just went, in the past couple months, it went before the Georgia Supreme Court. And each time our attorney, Alex Johnson, wrote up a new, you know, explanation explaining why this is not moot, why we're seeking a legal precedent, that we need to set a precedent saying lockdowns are unconstitutional. Is that so much – is that too hard to say? Is that too hard to get in Georgia? Y'all, like, we're in Georgia. I'm not trying to do it in California or Hawaii, but I couldn't even get in Georgia. What does that tell you? And so the Georgia Supreme Court dismissed the case on the same ground, mootness. They wouldn't even hear it. So, you know, I just don't put a lot of faith in the legal system. I think these judges are owned the same way that these, you know, the people that staff the big tech companies are owned, and they're all afraid of being canceled. They're just going to toe the line. They're going to toe the line until they're being marched to the guillotine.
Yep, I tend to agree with you on that, and that's why you have to think: does voting do a thing? Does it do anything for the situation? You vote for your candidate, and they still do whatever they want.
Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, Trump for me is the biggest example of I know that we get tossed around a lot, but controlled opposition. But, like, to me, he's just completely controlled. He's a con man, you know. It had Hillary won, we would be in a much better place right now. If Hillary had won and we got locked down, could you imagine how the American right would have reacted to Hillary Clinton saying you have to be locked in your home, that you don't get to worship? Mm-hmm. Could you imagine, y'all? We would have had a revolution. Trump was selected. All of these people. Kemp was selected. Every one of these governors, like, there's no, they won't let an outsider get in. I just really don't think there's any outsiders. I mean, maybe like Rand Paul, like maybe you could be like a senator. I don't think they're going to let you even have your own. I mean, that's why I have my reservations with DeSantis too. Like, I hope he does good stuff. I hope DeSantis is real. I mean, he seems real. I like him, but in the end, I feel like it doesn't matter. One of two things will happen. They'll either put the person, they'll install the person that they want to be in power, which is, to be honest, what our country has done as a colonial empire for 100 years in other countries. We want this person, this puppet regime, to be in power because they are, you know, they're aligned with our interests for, you know, A, B, and C. So we now are doing the same. There's a way that we created banana republics in other places and puppet regimes. We now have our own puppet regime in our own country. And it's just a matter of, you know, like, how long are we going to take it? Maybe Brandon winning his second term will be – that'll be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
One can only hope. That's the only thing that good that could come out of such a debacle.
I think they should run just somebody equally old. You know, they should have somebody just as equally old and just have like two dementia patients on in the debate going back.
Well, maybe
and forth.
John Fetterwoman can run.
Oh no!
Yeah, that would be good. Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
My name is John Fetterwoman.
Wow.
So what is Fetterman?
The Eagles
Fetterman,
are so much better than the Eagles. No, no.
All right, that's it. I just had to share that.
You know, so I grew up in Pittsburgh, so it's Fetterman, I guess, is like old school Pittsburgh man. He was the mayor of Braddock, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, I haven't really been following it because he just seems like a sad soul, you know. Like he just looks like a Cro-Mag, you know, just like he's not all quite there. Kind of feel bad. Like it's like how I feel about the real Biden, not like the evil clone that they bring out or the deep fake. But it's just like that old man. Like I feel bad. You know, like I want to call somebody and say like they made this old man get up there and like fall off a bike. Like who do we call? Who will police this? Stop this cruelty to seniors. Like I don't support this. You know,
so Fetterman
gives me those vibes, but just with like low income or low IQ.
Before you leave us, I do want to play this week's Broccoli Man episode, though.
Let's do it, man.
So I sent both of you the link. So let me know when you have it ready, and I'll go to it. I wanted to show this
check.
To you earlier, but we were in the woke conversations, and this will fit in.
All right, cool. I'm trying to find it. Where are you? Did you send it as a Facebook message?
Yeah.
Got it. All right, let's do it.
All right, you guys are ready?
We're
yes,
ready.
Yes, whenever you are.
All right. Okay, so I'll count it down right now here. So this is called Mike and Malik Go to a Restaurant. All right, so I'll count down. So 3, 2, 1, action.
Hello, welcome to our restaurant. Do you need a table for two?
Yes, you're hungry and it is date night. I see a men's and a woman's restroom. Where are the two men's bathrooms?
We only have the two restrooms. You just choose the restroom you identify with.
But my lifestyle demands a trans bedroom. And I am a trans outlaw. I don't see any litter boxes out in case a friend comes in.
Sorry, we do not allow pets to come in. But if you want to order some food, I can help you get a table and order dinner.
Lots of people now identify as cats. Why are you not compliant with what people identify as? How would you like it if a friend came in right now, saw no litter box, and then went quiz all over the floor?
What day is vegan drag queen story time? I do not see any kids or dudes wearing women's clothes and getting naked.
We do not do drag queen story times here. We just serve food. We have the best baked spaghetti in the state.
Hey, why are you not even wearing a scam? Us liberals demand everyone wear a scam at all times forever.
You're not wearing a political symbol on your face. For shame, you are a Trump supporter.
We do not wear scams here. And I did not vote in the last election.
See? I knew it. Not voting for Brandon is a vote for Trump. Do you give a discount for us being a trans? We are both trans. Yes. This is my birthing partner. I love them very much. Jim's is trying to get me pregnant. We need to be celebrated for having sexual relations as trans people.
We do not give discounts based on who or what you sleep with. Now, did you want a table for two?
Why did you just assume my birthing partner and I only identify as two people?
Do you have any special menus for me because I am black?
Maybe you do not understand. We are trans peoples. Why are you not treating us more special than others?
Like I said, we do not cater to any special groups of people. You can both be trans people and eat here. Your money works here. But we are not giving any discounts based on your skin color or whom you choose to use your private parts with.
I apologize for my skin color being white. It is my fault I was not born black.
We do not care what skin color you are. We are just trying to get you seated so you can have dinner.
I see a picture on the wall of a man and a woman holding hands. Do you know how offensive that is to trans people?
Those were the original owners. They were married in 1956 and opened this place right after their honeymoon.
How sad they decided to prove how much they hate people by holding hands and putting the picture on the wall.
How come all of them are black? Why are they not taking pictures of drag queens?
We did not do public drag queen story times in the 1950s. All we did was cook great food, which is all we do now.
Having a restaurant is not about cooking food. It is about how you promote our communities. And it looks like you dejectedly squat when it comes to promoting our trans agenda.
How is it you do not know that being cisgendered is wrong?
I don't even know what being cisgendered means.
It means comfortable in your own skin. If you are white and not gay, that is extremely offensive.
And you are supposed to support Black Lives Matter? We should at least be gonna get a Black Lives Matter discount for eating at this crap hole.
Why did you even come here anyway? Did you come just to question us or did you want a table and have dinner?
It depends. You have done absolutely nothing for us since we have been here except offer to see us.
That is what we are supposed to do. This is a restaurant. We sit you at a table, take your food order, and then serve you food. That is what restaurants do.
But we only go to places that Jesus woke. Why come you ain't woke?
Why is it she does not support communism? We demand a social credit score so losers like you are not allowed to be part of society because you are a cisgendered white person who did not vote for Brandon. All white people ain't nothing but racists. Us black people can never be racist against you straight up chicken necked crackers.
And you should lose carbon credits because you need at least one cat litter box for every two tables made.
You should be giving food away for free. You losers are totally supporting capitalism like fools.
You're loving and liberal.
Then maybe you should find another restaurant that caters to your needs. We just serve food. We do not serve political agendas here. Would you like dinner here or do you need to go elsewhere?
So now you are threatening us and refusing to give us food.
Wait until we get on the people's court for this. We'll be finished show how racist and genderist you bees is.
And how you are too cisgendered and against furries. We are going to tell the ACLU how you discriminate because you do not have a restroom for every single gender.
You messed with the wrong trans outlaw.
Alright, so that was an episode.
Good stuff, man, as always.
I was going to say, I hope it was alright.
It was great. It was, yeah, it touched on a lot of the stuff we were talking about earlier.
But I just can't believe, though, that there's a large swath of population that is in it that hardcore. I just refuse to believe that. I just think the average American is just apathetic. I don't think they honestly believe this stuff. You?
Yeah, I don't think they believe it, but it's kind of like Soviet Russia, right? You know, like a lot of people didn't believe that, but they went along with it because they were afraid of being called out for not going along with it. So my thing is, if you go along with that nonsense, you might as well just say you are woke. You know what I mean? It's like your job's putting pressure on you to put your pronouns in your email signature, and you cave in and you do it. You are woke. Just embrace it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think you get to play the card of like, oh, I was just doing like the path of least resistance. It's like, no. Like, that's the thing about the whole call to wokeness. It's like at some point it wants a sacrifice. Like, you're going to have to give something to it. It might be just putting your pronouns in your profile or your email signature. It might be your child. It might be your bodily autonomy. It might be getting an injection. It might be covering your face. But it needs something from you. And if you keep giving it to them, you give it. You are. You've given in, man. Unfortunately, like, those lines have drawn. And so at this point, it doesn't matter if, like, I mean, I agree with you. There's probably only, like, a small subset that's, like, real full-on, like, wanting to, like, cancel people and, like, that rights for Antifa. But, I mean, it's more people than you would think. A friend of mine just told me he went on a date with some girl he just met from Tinder or School
yeah.
Fish or one of those stupid dating apps. And he was saying – he lives in Atlanta. And he was saying that the girl was – he was like, oh, like, how was your weekend? And she was telling him about how she went the day previous to a concert at Antifa Cop City, because there's been now a multi, like, I don't know, it's gone on for like a month, where Antifa is protesting the development of some new, like, police station. And so they've, like, firebombed it, and they've had, like, massive rallies. And I guess they're having concerts of, like, awesome Antifa music. That's all, like, we hate the police, but we love the government. Yeah. We're, like, awesome.
How does that work? How is it that we want a new world order, but we don't want police?
I think they'd want, like, a new police force that's all, like, black women and trans people. You know?
Mm.
Like, it would all just be, it would be like Wakanda forever, you know? It's just like, yes, queen. It's just like, there's Black Panther, and then, like, here's, like, somebody, like, in a trans flag, and it's like, they're going to police things. I mean, I don't – these people are morons, and they're mentally ill. So, you know, they're not putting – expecting them to be rational or logical, unfortunately, it's just not going to end well. But yeah, I mean, all I'm saying is, like, the example of the Antifa police city is, like, it's just like a random thing. Like, my friend goes on a date with a random person he meets that's in Atlanta, and how did she spend her weekend? She went to an Antifa rally. So I don't know how of a minority it is. I mean, I guess if you take the whole swath of the country, right? I mean, I'm sure there's people in Idaho that don't really think about Antifa at all, let alone go to a rally for it. But if you're thinking about people in, like, a metropolitan city that work for corporations, I think they're probably pretty woke, or they're at least, like, pretty compromised to the woke agenda. And I don't know, y'all. We just got to keep fighting, you know? There's a lot of power in being courageous. They want to make it so people are afraid to speak. And so the more you can speak out when you can, especially in those moments where, like, you know, like, I feel it all the time. Even sometimes I'm, like, liking something and I'm like, should I like this? Like, will that come back on me? Or, like, should I say this? You know, it's like you can't live in fear. You can't live in fear of a mob of morons, really. A mob of morons.
Right.
Being ruled and manipulated by some psychopaths that have lined their pockets for generations by exploiting all of us, whether you're white, black, male, female, cat or dog. We are being manipulated by a class of people that have inherited wealth of generations that, in some cases, have earned that wealth doing the most nefarious things.
So we have to speak out, and we can't let the useful idiots stop us. But anyway, always a pleasure to be on the show, y'all. It's always great to talk to you.
Hey, I'm just glad you came. I didn't even get to talk to you about your band, Faithless Town.
That's right. In another world, in another life, my name's Gene, really, and I have a band called Faithless Town. Well, next time I'm on, maybe I'll tell you the whole story of how Kilgore Rand became a thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a band called Faithless Town, and I make music, and that's really what I've wanted to do and what I would like to do instead of having to fight the new world order. And, yeah, we're making great music. And we've got a new single coming out on Friday that's, like, beautiful folk music. It's a collaboration with my friend Robert, or Jude Roberts, who he has a great new song called Fall on Your Sword, Mr. Fauci, that is up on InfoWars. It has, like, last I checked it had, like, 200,000 views, but it's, like, blowing up on band video or whatever the InfoWars video site is. Check it out, Jude Roberts. Yeah, band.video. Yeah, he's like friends with Cecilia Farber, who she did a lot of like journalism exposing like HIV, kind of like the whole official narrative of HIV not really adding up, which I think laid the groundwork for a lot of the stuff we're dealing with COVID. And anyway, yes, she filmed him playing, and like Robert F. Kennedy loved it, and people at InfoWars loved it. And anyway, me and Jude go back, like, way back into the anti-war days of Iraq and Afghanistan protesting Bush. We were in a group called Not In Our Name together, and the whole concept of that organization was, like, the actions of our government are not in the name of the people, which I'd say still rings true. Because Brandon does not represent me, and nor did Trump. The actions of this government do not represent me, so they're not in my name. Sadly, Not In Our Name ended up being, like, turned out to be a front for the Revolutionary Communist Party. So we both left pretty disillusioned. It was pretty sad. But anyway, Jude and I he's like one of the few friends from that leftist activist community that I still talk to, because the rest of them have really, you know, they bought into Team Blue. They bought into the Trump is the boogeyman and that false dichotomy of if you're not like all on board with all this crazy stuff labeled progressive, then you must be a crazy right winger. If you don't want
hilarious,
the government to like
you
lock
you
in your home,
somebody now you call them a Trump supporter.
Yeah, it's so lame. It's so lame. It's like your conspiracy theory. It's just a shortcut to thinking. You know, it's like just do better, people. Use your brain, man. Just think. Stop using their stupid words, their stupid jargon. It's so sad when you see like something that's clearly created by the CIA and like people just parrot it, like that meme about masks, right, where it was like, if I pee in my pants, pee just runs down my leg, but if I wasn't wearing pants and I started peeing, then I would get pee on my neighbor's leg. Like, you literally saw people, like, so many people shared that. Doctors shared that. And I'm pretty sure that was created by, like, some algorithm or, like, the CIA. And it's so retarded. Like, that shows you, like, how base-level dumb people are. Like, that's another thing we're dealing with. People are really stupid. People are not very smart. And so it's like you got to make something, like, you got to dumb stuff down for them. Sadly. But anyway, yeah, we're wrapping this up.
Yeah.
Check out my band, Faithless Town. We got a new song coming out. Check out my friend Jude Roberts. Let's see what's going on with fighting Bandcamp, because that stuff's crazy with the censorship. But yeah, we're going to have a new song out, and it'll be available at faithlesstown.com. The activism stuff, you can follow at idonotcomply.org. And stay fearless. Let's keep fighting the good fight. And I hope to be back on the show in a month or two, and we can reassess and see how things are going. But everyone just, you know, stay strong. Don't let the darkness get you down. You know, you have every right to be happy and take pride and gratitude in the things you have. Spend time with your family, with your friends, in the real world. And life is beautiful and precious, and don't let the psychopath steal that from you.
All right. I think Amen. Those are good words. Thank you for joining us, and we'll definitely look forward to having you back.
Awesome, y'all. Thanks so much.
Thank
All right,
you.
That was Kilgore Rand, everyone. IDoNotComply.org is the website. We're going to take a time out right now, and we'll come back in just a few minutes, and we still got a lot of time together here, so stay tuned, everyone, and we'll be right back.
Peace, what's up, y'all? This is Ninja Scroll. Check out my newest album, Renewed Mind, with songs like this. Solve Coagula. Solve Coagula. Tear down and rebuild the whole system. Bible prophecy fulfilled. Snakes in the grass. Sin, son of position. We got snakes in the grass. Rally through the high pass. Traps all laid out. Avoid the bomb. I got ya right where I want ya. Like a raw line in the field, I stalk ya. Beast up on ya, beast on your aura. Laying in wait, ready to pounce on ya. Once I get ya, can you hear me now?
All part of the game.
In this thing for so long now, it's time to open up your eyes. Look at how you're living, just to follow where we're sitting.
And the new norms, the new world order. Yeah, go get yours right now at officialninjascroll.web.com. That's official, ninjascroll.web.com.
Trying to show you everything, but you ain't care. Got you running scared, it's fear that is the main weapon. Peace to the people that was always prepping. I'm stepping on toes trying to wake you.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the Word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the Book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Study.
Okay, class, we want to talk about what we learned during the lockdown. The first question is, what did we learn during the quarantine, kids? Susie.
That government overreach is real.
What about you, Johnny? We went from home of the brave to home of the government slave. And you, Michael?
We need to refresh the tree of liberty.
What about you, Diane?
So many sheep are willing to give up their rights because of a little fear.
Very good, class.
Hello to all you filth bags and something duckers that are looking for employment. We're hiring 87,000 new IRS agents. Are you able to knock on doors and demand to see people's tax returns? We need people who are willing to handle firearms. You need to be the government's new army. Your job will consist of number not grades of people who work as waitresses and did not report all their cash tips. Or maybe they had a yard sale and did not report income. You might need to shoot someone dead who is refusing to cooperate. Or you may have to deal with some childrens. That part is for me. You might need to enforce your will on people by any means necessary to force those 99% dolts and nincompoops to give over all their property to the 1%. If they say they voted for Trump, you kick them in the kumquats. Look, almost 75 million Americans voted for Trump. Another 12 million voted for other candidates. There is another 40 million that voted for Brandon and said something mean about him on Spybook. We need to teach those political enemies that we mean business as we turn America into a third world hellhole for all. If you vote Democrat, we will be coming for you eventually. But for now we are starting our training and first order of work with bringing those right and center wing extremists to those FEMA camps that do not exist. So who wants to work for the IRS? Just go to their website and then we will put you in basic training. Once you prove to us you can handle a firearm and threaten Trump supporters hardcore enough, we will place you on those mean streets and help us confiscate property on all those fuss budgets that did not complete a perfect error-free annual taxation form. Good luck to all you applicants. And good luck all you dolts and something that cares who will let us get away with it.
Now, back to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. We have Amanda. We still have about 40 minutes or so left. If anybody wants to be a part of the show tonight, the number is 319-527-6208 and just press lucky number 1 and we'll bring you into the conversation. So do you have anything else you want to go into tonight, Amanda? I figured you haven't had a chance to have too many discussions today.
Oh, well, really, truly, I've just been focusing on my family more than anything. You might remember, it's been some weeks ago that I had mentioned that my family was doing some interesting things, and so my older son, the one I was talking about earlier that's into guns, they are moving to Florida. And so we've been arranging things and trying to get him here for a little while until they find a place, because they're in Colorado right now. And so it looks like they're going to be staying in my town in St. George, Utah, for a couple of months while they try to find housing and all the things in Florida. So, yeah, I've been focusing on my little family and seeing what I can do to help them. And so pretty soon I'll have my little grandkids close by for at least a couple of months. And, yeah, he's had to do some shifting of his job from being in person to more of a remote position. And my daughter-in-law has a health condition, so they have to find a lower elevation. Her condition will improve if she's able to move to a lower elevation. And so they're going to go low. They're going to go as sea level as they can. And it's looking good. So that's what we've been doing. It's been a fun, interesting thing. I mean, I don't, you know, he's an adult. It's not like I have a ton of, I don't know, influence that way, but we're very excited and supportive. So that's what we've been doing. And enjoying more snow here in St. George than I think they ever have seen. And by enjoying, I'm saying, wow, what a surprise.
Yeah, I heard that there were snow flurries. Nothing stuck, but I heard there were snow flurries 3 times while I was in the hospital.
Wow. Well, yeah, I'm sure you've heard, too, that California got a lot of snow in places that they don't usually see snow. But
right.
So did St. George, Utah. We got enough where it stuck, and I was very surprised. We are moving into our usual temperatures now. I mean, other than yesterday was blue skies and lovely, and today was just chemtrails. The whole sky was blanketed.
Oh, I saw that today here, too.
Yeah. Pretty gross, but yeah, whatever. Just trying to focus on being as optimistic as I possibly can and not let it get me down. But yeah, all is well. We're just focusing on our family. Things moving. And so, do you have any clips today of anything going on?
I didn't really upload any clips today because I figured we would be spending quality time with our friend, which we did.
Awesome. Yes, love it. And I'm just going to pull up a link and read it to you if I can find it. This is always the issue. I like Telegram. I've told you I like Telegram because it is less drama, but it's the posts get buried before you have a chance to do anything with it. But, of course, I'm not going to be able to find it now because I want to. Okay, so do you follow the Solari report at all?
No, I never heard of it.
Yeah, it's just, well, basically it's a woman who is well known for, I mean, she's a financial advisor, but she has a website dedicated to it, and her name's Catherine Austin Fitz. You probably have
heard of
her.
Oh, I know who she is. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And so I follow her channel on Telegram quite a bit because she's usually pretty reliable, the information she gives, and she's not very much in, you know, she's not all about the fear and just the theater. She tries to keep it straightforward. And so I was curious, had you heard that they were closing Walmarts
in Portland, Oregon?
Yes, in Oregon. There you go. And so had you heard or read anything about their reasoning around that?
Yeah, too much shoplifting and ransacking. So I guess the state of Oregon feels that it's more important to not have Walmart than it is to stop these criminal thugs. Antifa is more important.
Exactly. Right. And so we'll just close down the stores and make other people suffer. Not that I'm a huge Walmart fan, don't get me wrong. I go to Walmart if I have no choice, but, you know, that's pretty much... It's nice to have options, though, but I think that's just pushing us more into these smart cities or 15-minute cities or what Trump is calling freedom cities. Have you heard his talk about that?
Yeah, I didn't quite understand what a freedom city is, according to him.
Yeah, it's a repackaged version of what we've already been hearing when it comes to 15-minute cities. He's trying to brand it as though it's going to be people of a like mind who are freedom-minded, but anytime you're trying to bring people in and restrict travel, that's not freedom. And so I was wondering, do you feel like there's a connection between what they're doing, say, like in Oregon right now, shutting down these stores and pushing people further into their camps, their cities, controlling people's options? What are your thoughts on that?
I'm not going to go that far on the Walmart closures. I think legitimately that these stores are just tired of getting ransacked, or you have some of these thugs bring guns in and they take a cashier and hold them hostage. I've seen a couple times. And nobody in the city wants to do anything about it.
Right. And that's what I was curious. Like, nobody wants to do anything about it. They're not protecting the customer. They're not protecting the employees. And is this part of the whole agenda of making it so it's unsafe? It's unsafe over here because the weather's bad. It's unsafe over there because of fires. It's unsafe here because of crime. Do you think that's, you know, the overarching theme of things are so unsafe, we have to bring you in here so we can protect you. We have to bring you over into this area so we can be safe. That was my thought. Because, I mean, Catherine Austin Fitz has been talking about certain things, certain aspects around how the reset, I mean, she's absolutely 100% on the same page as me. Well, I should say I'm on the same page as her, as that the scandemic was never about illness. It was always about a reset, a global reset of bringing it into a digital currency. And that way that the government can control our movement in any way, whether it looks like what China's doing with the social credit system or a version of it that Americans can think, oh, well, if I sign up for this governmental program, I'll be able to get my gasoline or my XYZ, you name it, your electricity. You're allowed to have your power. And she's been talking about how this is just snowballing and not necessarily talking about the Walmarts, but that's just where my mind goes when I read her different blogs and her information, bringing it to mind that it's all about trying to keep us safe and bring some sense of security. And when you get to look at daddy government as your protector, you end up doing whatever daddy government says. And I know that Kilgore was mentioning, you know, we have to have a mass uprising for some sort of armed rebellion. But if people are so... they're so concerned about their livelihoods, they can't function. They don't know where you're going to get your next meal. You don't know if they're going to have electricity to stay warm or cool or cooked or whatever. And you're so depleted all the time, you don't have the energy or the mental acumen to fight for your freedom. You can't think outside of, oh, I have these basic needs that are not being met and I'm under threat, and people become desperate. They're just desperate. And so she talks a little bit about that, like how governments, even in the past, have created scenarios where people become desperate and they'll do anything to stay alive or take care of their children. You know, that's a good way to hit people, is make it so that they feel as though they have to do anything to keep their children safe and alive and fed and that sort of thing. So I wondered what your thoughts were on these different scenarios. Say, like, we have the contamination, all these random, not random, train derailments and accidents that throw chemicals into the environment, making it unsafe. And they can take this property and push people out because it's so toxic here. Whether it's
when there's that many that happen that fast, it's not an accident, in my opinion.
Right. So that's definitely what comes to my mind when I hear these things, see these things happening, and feeling as though, you know, if we make it to 2030, if that is their end goal is to implement everything by 2030, it seems like they're ahead of, they're on track, but maybe even ahead of their goal. They might be getting to that point a little sooner than 2030 at this rate. But
well, that's their
thought.
Goal, but I just, maybe I'm just hopeful. I just think that they're overreaching and they're not going to get what they want out of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Instead of getting people all whipped up into fear and then not being able to make good decisions, when you've got a big mass of people who are all just feeling so threatened at their base needs that you just end up descending into chaos, and the only answer for the chaos is for the government to step in and help everybody out and give them the answers and take care of things. That's what people will do, to hand over their rights so that the government can be the responsible one. Quote, unquote, response.
But I do think that there's going to have to be an uprising in order to make this happen, because it's not the way it is now. People are just way too compliant, and I don't see it getting any better until enough of us learn. It doesn't hurt enough yet.
Right. And coming door to door to take your guns or whatever, take you to a FEMA camp that seems to me like when they're coming to your home and they're looking to enforce whatever it is, you name it, they want to come and enforce something. I would hope that that's where people would draw the line. I mean, but perhaps they'll get people to the point where they don't have to go to door to door. They'll just say, well, you know, I realize that we're all in hard times right now and everything's so toxic, but the government has all this food here at this facility. If you'll just come and get your food here at this facility, then we'll take care of you. And people will be complacent. That's my concern, I guess, more than anything. People will just go along with it because they're so scared and weakened physically, mentally, and emotionally, and definitely spiritually as well. But, and I keep hearing things going on in Europe with Ukraine and Russia, but it seems to me like they're not focusing on that so much anymore. That just becomes background noise, because it's been going on for a year now.
Well, everybody's still getting their money, so that's the most important part.
Yep, that makes sense. sadly.
So as long as they're getting money, no, nobody's going to get mad.
Mm-hmm. Yep, make it what they want. I did see that there was an event in Parliament in Canada where one of the officials, the, I don't know what you call it, city official? I don't know what they would call that there in Canada, actually apologized for the COVID restrictions. Did you see that?
No.
A short video floating around. I wonder if I can find it and send it to you, but it was a meeting. It was a meeting in an official, like, city type of environment, and the representative was apologizing for causing harm through their restrictions. I just saw it, like, a minute ago. Where is it? Let's see if I can find it and send it to you. It's just really fascinating to hear that there was an apology, at least one official. Oh, here it is. And, oh, it's a Substack. First ever official apology for COVID vaccine mandate. And it's a video, so I'm going to see if I can send that. Oh, that doesn't work from here. Oh, interesting. Thought I was going to message it to my Facebook Messenger, but apparently it doesn't like that. There we go. So yeah, it's a very interesting scenario. I would hope that this could be something that people would recognize, that you're actually getting an official apology. There must be something that they are recognizing as being incorrect to go out of their way to apologize. I'm gonna send it to you. Go. There we go.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, but how believable is that? And they're still going to try to push it, too.
Of course. A constituent had presented to the Council of the Public Health or Ontario data showing that by January 2022, more cases were reported per capita in vaccinated people versus unvaccinated. So, hey, you know, I mean, that just goes to show that their precious needle has caused more problems. It solved nothing, caused problems only. It's nice to know that some people are recognizing that it is ridiculous and there should be apologies. Everyone should receive an apology, in my opinion. I got an apology from my nephew from him not welcoming me to his sister's funeral in 2021. I was officially uninvited because I wouldn't wear a scam.
In 2023, we're still playing scam games.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, definitely in St. George, Utah, we're not seeing a ton of scam wares. There are not too many. Every once in a while in the grocery store, typically, is where I will see maybe one person or at the most a handful. But luckily, it's not a thing around here. And except for the hospital and other medical facilities that are under the IHC umbrella, the Intermountain Healthcare. And boy, oh boy, talk about people having to fight for their rights there. So I'm curious what kind of tactics were used against you to try to get you into a scam?
when
you were in the hospital?
Oh, they just tried to tell me it was the lawn stuff, and then when I said, well, I'm not wearing them, and then they said, well, mm-hmm. we can't do anything against you, so we don't like that you're not wearing a scam, but we're going to take you to where you need to be.
Oh, well, good. They don't like it, but they're going to comply with you anyway.
Basically,
I'm sure you're
yeah.
one of very few. Did you see anyone
yeah.
else there without a scam on their face? Yeah?
I wasn't looking, to be honest. I was in a bed all day, so I didn't really get to see.
Oh, got it.
They would wheel me out to, like, get an MRI or something like that, but other than that, and at that point, I really wasn't looking at other people.
Mm-hmm. And so do you feel like the hyperbaric chamber did something for you? Healing?
Not in one section or one session, I should say. It will take
uh-huh.
more than that.
Nice. And you have more plans?
Because the one I did was not a medical grade.
Mm. Okay.
So I did one that would be a normal grade. So I just wanted to see what it felt like so that if it did become available, that I could have an interest or not. So I thought it was cool.
Nice. Did you notice, maybe not in the healing of your condition, but did you notice you had maybe more energy, more clarity? Did you sleep better? I mean, any other improvements from the session?
I couldn't tell.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious. I haven't done one. I would so be interested in doing it at some point, but I've not done it yet.
I'm not saying it did or did not help. I don't have a clue.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the experience goes, I could sit in an hour in a pressured oxygen chamber and breathe in fresh oxygen and be completely okay.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I don't see how extra oxygen can hurt, especially in that situation after being in the hospital for a little while. No doubt you were doing some good things for your cellular health. Whether you felt it or not,
yeah.
your cells probably improved. But, well, that's good, and you're doing herbs, you're doing supplements, you're taking care of that. Do you have exercises that you do, or what? I'm just curious what your regimen is for your healing.
I haven't done much exercise because it's just been miserable outside, and I want to be outside to exercise because there's not much room in here to do anything.
Got it. Well, hopefully the weather improves enough. I know I actually went barefoot again over, let's see, what day was it? Monday, I believe. My feet were actually not cold enough to be uncomfortable, so I was actually able to be barefoot, which was the first in a while.
Job.
So just to my office. I went to the store and to my office and taught yoga, and so I saw a couple clients.
Well, what store did you go to?
Locally here. Pardon?
What store did you go to?
Oh, to the Smith down the way. Did you hit up that Smith? Yeah, there's a Lynn's that you went to, and if you just keep following that road, there's a Smith that's down that direction.
Okay.
So, yeah, no one ever cares. At least not in my experience, if I'm in my dirt
yeah.
feet. But I'll tell you, though, grocery stores, that's the place to be barefoot if you can handle it, at least for me, because I definitely collect a lot of static electricity otherwise. And it can be a shocking experience, quite literally. I like being barefoot if I can. And I'm looking forward to warmer weather, for sure.
Well, we have our challenge that we do at the end of at the beginning of spring. So it's I have a new meme I was supposed to put out earlier. I'll put it out tomorrow, but it's called the hashtag I Did It Barefoot Challenge. And
oh, nice.
So we're asking people to go to a store and take a picture of the moment, or just do a 60-second video and use our hashtag.
Oh. Very nice.
So, yeah, we want to get people involved. And if more people do it, then more the more accepting it becomes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the goal.
Yes. Okay. I often think about doing that, but when I'm in the store, I'm busy and I forget to even take a picture or a video. I'd have to remind myself. As soon as I get in the store, I'm like, oh, I'm getting what I need, getting out. I forget to do anything else.
No, that's okay. The important thing is that you're doing it. So we just have to get more people involved, and the more we can get people to do it, the more normal it becomes, and then more people do it. People want to do it. They're just afraid that they're going to get yelled at, so they don't.
Right. Yeah. I have yet to be yelled at, and I've been lots of places without my shoes on. And nobody's ever said anything to me, knock on wood. Not that I would care if they did. I would just use it as an opportunity to... I take that back. One time, the principal of the school where I worked, and I told you about this.
Yeah.
I was sitting in my classroom, and she said, "Oh, I know you like to go barefoot. I just wanted to let you know that, you know, I could lose my license just here. Or I could be fined," I don't remember how she put it, about her school. And all I said was, well, I wear shoes for the sake of class time, but that's it. I mean, it wasn't even time for school to be in session. I was just setting up my classroom. She was just concerned that I would be teaching the kids with my bare feet, because that would be so scary.
And that would be scary. Why?
I don't know, because she was just afraid she'd get turned in. So, well, I don't know who. I don't know what she was. I don't know who would. I don't even know.
And
her insurance?
Even if a kid said my teacher didn't have shoes on, they don't even know the context. Your shoe could have broke. You could have been in the middle of changing shoes and somebody had a question. It's just crazy that people would think like that.
Yeah, I agree. The students wouldn't even, I'm just sure that she was told somewhere along the way that, you know, it's against some random safety code and she could be held liable. As in the principal, I am imagining that true situation. But, again, it's not the law, and I told her that a couple of times. But I don't have to worry about that now, because I don't have to work there. And being self-employed, I can do whatever I want, which is nice. And
that
I do.
Is true.
There's, yeah. It's nice. I can walk all over the office and all over. You've been to my office. So I can go anywhere I want, have no troubles. And go to my yoga classes at the college. Nobody cares. No one said a thing to me. No one even notices, I'm sure.
So we have to do a lot better on this next meetup than we did last time.
Sounds good. I know I do have people for sure this time. I just have to make sure they're around when we do it. We just have to make sure it's a good weekend. Because for whatever reason, that last time it was like, yeah, I want to go, but I have XYZ, because whatever the weekend was like busy for people. And I don't even remember what it was now. But we'll make sure to get people this time. I'll arrange it so that their schedules meet. I have a couple of yoga students who would go.
Okay. And then, of course, I'll leave it for you to get the restaurant handled.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you told me about one restaurant, and I don't remember which one it was. So I know you're there, so.
Okay. Trying to think. I mean, we went to Turmeric already a couple times, but. What did I say? I'll have to think about that. I don't remember which one I said. I don't know. There's Zhao. Zhao doesn't care. And who else? I've gone to the other Indian food place. It's really nice. Nobody's ever cared. I don't know. I'll have to remember which one I said. I'll give you some options. How about that?
Okay, but I want to get it done as early as we can so that so that we can get the word out.
Sounds good. Okay, yeah, I'll talk to my yoga students on Monday and make sure they're going to be around, and which I'm sure they will. And then Laura and a couple of other people that are at my office, and let's just get the word out. I could probably even just post it on the Facebook group that's for the St. George area.
Okay.
Invite people. People will come.
Hopefully.
Yes, hopefully. As you know, people say, yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we got like 5 minutes. How do we want to waste them?
Let's see. Yeah. Oh, I can tell you this. Cool. So I mentioned my son, Lance, who we've had on the show before. He is in med school, and he is looking for internships, and he just got one locally, and he wrote his own exemption for the vaccine, and he has a friend who was looking to get into med school somewhere in the Midwest. I can't remember where, and so my son wrote his friend a vaccine exemption, and it was accepted. So it's a med school exemption for a vaccine, and it has been very interesting. He used specific wording that actually came from Peggy Hall. So Peggy's wording, and he put it on his official letterhead from his ministry license that he got online, and apparently these places were like, okay, good enough. And there we go. I thought that was so interesting. I was glad he didn't get a lot of flack because that can make it really hard. He says it might be different when it does come time for him to do when he does his internship at a hospital, when it's time to actually finish up his med school training, that could be a difficult thing. But what he's doing right now is pathology at the hospital locally. So it works, though, and I was pleasantly surprised. It was a great idea, I thought.
Hey, at least people are learning how to stand up for themselves.
Amen to that. And he didn't want to be one of those that had to stake a card. Like, he just didn't want to add two numbers, even if they're fake. He just didn't want to do it. Be one who spoke against it, or at least stood up for himself. So, yeah. And pretty interesting to see. But yeah,
all right,
that's all the excitement in my life.
trying to think if there's anything else, but I guess there really isn't. Well, I'll go ahead and wind it down then here. So it was nice to hang out again. I know it's been a couple weeks, and I just hope by Easter I can get this wrap off my foot so that I could be normal again.
Yeah. Yes, I hope that for you as well.
It's just hard to book meetups and do stuff if I have a wrap on. It's just, it's hard.
Right. Well, it sounds like you're on the healing path, so no doubt you'll be good as new very soon.
I think so. I'm confident.
Good. You're doing the right thing.
All right, well, let me go ahead and wind this down here. We're about to get the 90-second buzzer anyway, so thank you for being here, Amanda. Everyone else, I will be back again tomorrow. Please support the other shows on the network. It's not just the Proof Negative show. We are also looking for new hosts as well. In the meantime, hold on to the handrail. Keep hope alive. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires. I am Proof Negative, and I am Oops.